Amen. I said the Lord is good. Now, let's just say a word of prayer again. And Father, we thank you because you have heard us today. We thank you because you have released unto our hearts, everyone listening today, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God's word. We thank you, Lord, because I speaking have the spirit of revelation, speaking only the word that you want your people to hear this afternoon in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in continuation of what we have been saying in the last many sessions, today will be number 8. I happen to have checked the list today. That's why I'm very sure. Okay, I checked the list today. I'm very sure this is number 8. So we've been talking about spiritual economics, and it's good again that we just review one or two things that we said from the beginning, so that, you know, it's been a few weeks, so that we can just get back into what we have been saying. Remember that we started by saying at the beginning that what makes us Christians, which we have to bear in mind, and you know, it's important I say this again and again. Peter, writing to the Hebrews, said that, look, I know that you know these things already, but I will continue to remind you of them. That's what the Bible calls admonishing. So it's important I keep admonishing us also on some things, so that we'll keep saying them again and again. And what we started by saying was looking at Hebrews chapter 11. We said that faith, is the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were made framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. And we said that as Christians, we must bear that in mind, that the things that determine your life physically are not the things that you can see physically. You understand what I'm saying? That is, foundations are laid in heaven. You understand my point? That's why Paul will write that you should seek the things that are above only. Because you see, Jesus will tell you that if you lay up treasure in heaven, in the place that you have laid up treasure, moths cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. And we said that if you have something in heaven that we say, if we say something is stored in heaven for you, it does not mean that you will get that thing when you die and go to heaven. You understand what I'm going to say? Really, I don't know exactly what heaven looks like. One thing I'm sure it does not look like is what most of us have been taught it looked like. You understand? Somewhere painted with gold and found, you know, just gold. Everybody wake up in the morning, sing praises to God, and that's all. It's going to be a very boring life if that's what it is. No, really, I mean that. It will be very boring. I'm sure that is what it is not. You understand my point? There's going to be a lot of activity in heaven. Do you understand my point? There will be a lot of activity. If there will not be activity, why will you be judging angels? Do you get my point? There will be activity. It's not that they didn't praise well, so you sentence them for not praising well. That's not the point. Okay? But what I want to bring out, what we said, is that that is not what it means when you say something is laid up in heaven. That we said when something is laid up in heaven, we are saying that the foundation, the storage is in heaven. Just like you don't live in a bank for you to be able to spend your money, but you can keep your money in a bank. You can keep your money in a bank abroad. You understand the point I'm making? But that doesn't mean the money is no longer yours or you have to go abroad to spend the money. It just means that is where it is kept. And for that reason also, in the same manner, as Christians, our lives must have its foundation in heaven. What we have in heaven, like David said, he said, who do I have in heaven but thee? And upon the earth I have desired no one else or nothing else. What that means is that because I have you in heaven, on the earth I desire nothing else. What he's saying is not that I will not have anything on the earth. That is, if I have you in heaven, there is nothing on the earth that I need to rely on. If I have you in heaven to rely on. Which means that on this earth, the influence of the one that sits in heaven is felt upon the earth. Do you understand the point I'm making? Although we explained that in the past, I just want to recap. I said, so in the same manner, when we're talking about wealth and finance and stuff like that on the earth, we are saying, therefore, that what directs actually the movement of resources on the surface of this earth is not what is on the earth, but what is in heaven. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, said, lay up treasure in heaven. Sell what you have and give to the poor and make for yourself purses that cannot wear out. All right, he said, a treasure that is laid up in heaven. You remember the rich young ruler that Jesus told, go and sell all you have and you will have treasure in heaven. So we emphasize in the first 2 days of this series that treasure in heaven is what we need. You understand the point I'm making? It's something we must lay up. And once we have treasure in heaven, it will do two things. It will produce what? One, treasure on the earth. And second, it will preserve the life of the person that has treasure on the earth. Because when we were studying the book of Luke, then we saw that Jesus said that there was a rich man whose ground produced far beyond his expectation in a particular time, and he decided to lay it up and then begin to enjoy for a long time. And that night, the Lord said that God said to him, your soul will be required of you, that who will now have the thing that you have laid up? Meaning that he is no longer present to be able to use the thing that he has laid up. He says, so it is with the man who is not rich toward God. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That is, the man that is not rich toward God, that is laying up treasure on the earth, does not have his life guaranteed to be able to enjoy the treasure that he has laid up on the earth. I'm just recapping what we said in the first 2 days. And then over the time, we have been saying many things. But I think what I just want to remind us of is what we said in the last two or three sessions. When we're talking about wealth, the difference between wealth and what? Money. You understand my point? That wealth is not just cash. Wealth is something that you have created on the earth that is having a positive impact upon the earth. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is what wealth is. And what God gives us really is the power to do that thing, to produce wealth. We read from Romans chapter 8. He said that it is the Lord, verse 18, thy God, that giveth thee what? The ability to produce. I hope somebody has an NIV today. I'm sure, but then we're not going to read it again. Well, if you have, you can read it. But if you read it, that's what he's saying. That is the Lord thy God that giveth the Lord thy God that gives you the ability to produce wealth. That is, it's productivity that God gives you the ability to do. It's not the ability to make money. I hope you understand what I'm going to say. That money moves in the direction of the person that is giving service to humanity on the earth. If you are doing something that is impacting people's lives, you will have money. You know, some time ago, I was talking to somebody, and he said that, wealth and that's money and success are the same thing. That can't a poor man be successful? I said it's not possible. A poor man is a failure. You see, a rich man is not necessarily successful. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. But somebody who is physically poor is not successful. I'm telling you the honest truth. If you say this, but like the guy said that day, you're equating success and money. I said, I never said that. Do you get my point? A man that is not febrile, okay, does it mean, can you say categorically that he's healthy? If he doesn't have a fever, his body is not hot. Are you sure the man is healthy? No, there are many people who don't have a fever and they are not healthy. But everybody that has a fever has a problem. Do you get the point I am making? You cannot have fever and say there's nothing wrong with you. There must be something wrong with you. I hope you are getting the point I am making. Of course, later I might come to that. I was about to start defining what poverty is, but I just realized that if I start, then I might not get to what I want to say today. Okay, but I can just tell you what prosperity is. It's having enough, okay, to be able to do all that God requires of you to do on the earth and having beyond that so you can help other people to do their own too. Do you understand what prosperity is? Prosperity is not just having enough. Okay, you know, you see a lot of people, they're actually selfish and poverty-minded people. Those days they will say that they just want enough to be able to buy a little car, a little house, and take care of themselves and their wife and kids. And that's all. They're not asking for much. And that's supposed to be righteous and holy. But that's a lie. That's actually selfish, dubious. I think so. It's dubious, all right? It's selfish, dubious, and actually a form of poverty mentality. A man that is successful should be able to do beyond that and do for other people also. If you read through the scriptures, that's always what God tells the children of Israel. For example, he will tell them that if you go through your land and you finish harvesting, don't go over the land a second time. Because all those things that you have left behind, what they call gleanings, are the things that the poor and the fatherless, the widows and the strangers can come in and eat. That is, God's expectation is that you must eat and remain. Do you follow what I'm saying? He never desires for you to eat and be full alone. You must eat enough and have so much that you leave some behind for other people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So a man that cannot do that, listen to me, is poor. Look, I don't care the kind of car he drives. I don't care what he looks like. But once he doesn't have enough to give to somebody else, after he might have satisfied his own needs, then he does not have enough. Do you get my point? He's a poor person. Okay. So, where was I? Where was I talking about that? Okay, so I was just reminding us of what wealth is. That wealth really means that you are positively impacting the earth. Wealth does not mean you have plenty of money. Wealth means that you have created something. Wealth means that you are creating jobs. Wealth means that you are solving problems. Do you understand the point I am making? Wealth does not mean that you have a lot of money. That's why you see those that steal can never be called wealthy. because they are taking from people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They are actually depleting the amount of resources in the society by taking from one other person. Because those who are really wealthy, what will happen is that, let me give an example of what wealth is. Somebody gave this example long ago, and I want to repeat it. And he explained this, that let's assume now that they farm a lot of, this was in Ondo State, so they farm a lot of cocoa there, all right? So it was given as an example. That here they farm a lot of cocoa, so people go to their farm and produce that. That is the degree of wealth, you understand? He said, but then most of the time it's just exported like that. But you export it, and the people collect it, make it into all kinds of things, chocolate drinks, chocolate bars, make all kinds of things with it, and then return it to you, and then you pay for it at a higher price than you sold it to them. He said, why? Because they added value to it. They created wealth in that thing. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, instead of selling a ton of cocoa for maybe about $1,000, I don't know how much it goes for, that if you are able to process it, add more value to it, when you want to sell it, the price goes up. Why? Because you have added wealth to the thing that you are selling. I hope you are getting my point. That's what we explained, that wealth is the ability to produce. Wealth is not making money. No matter how much you hang around, you see all those people on the road, you know, beggars. You know, begging is a very lucrative business. I hope you know that. In Nigeria, I don't know about elsewhere. In U.S. too, I may be dangerous in Europe. Those guys are stingy, man. But in U.S. and Nigeria, no. No, I'm serious. Americans are very generous. Nigerians are the, should I use the worst or the best? No, really. Nigerians are very generous, okay? Nigerians are very generous. Americans are also very generous. But white men, I mean, Europeans, these guys are bad, you know? No, it's part of the culture, you know? It's part of the culture. They never seem to have... Look, any society that arranges itself in such a manner that you cannot accommodate somebody else is breeding everybody into poverty. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. I'm telling you the honest truth. Once you cannot accommodate an extra person in your life, then you are being bred in a poverty cycle. It's important we get this thing, because we have to break out of poverty. What God expects is that He will make all grace abound towards you, that you will have all sufficiency in all things, and then abound to every good work. That, you go and read them 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, when Paul was speaking to the Corinthians. That's one thing he explained to them, that God's plan, you know, this is same Paul, let's just go back this, that explained that the Macedonians gave out of the depth of their poverty, all right? But he didn't say that was God's plan. It is good, like I said, faith is what, that's what impresses God really, okay? So that a man can give while he's physically poor means that he has faith that God will take care of him, and that impresses God. But Paul was explaining that is not God's perfect plan, really. His perfect plan is what? That you will have so much. Verse 7 Corinthians 9:8. He said, but God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Read verse 11. He said, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, for which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Get this. That is God's perfect plan. Not that you will just be sufficient, I have enough to eat, but that you have more than what you will require, and you have so much that you can meet the needs of other people. You remember the story we talked about, the rich man that saw the poor man, the fisherman, relaxing lazily. And he asked the man, why are you relaxing at this time of the day? The guy said, I've caught enough fish. Catch more fish, say, what will I do with it? He felt that, listen, if I catch more fish, I don't need it. The other man said, catch more fish and you become a rich man. But that's not the point. You know, I don't want to repeat the whole story. He was telling him about multiplying the number of boats he has and fishing in deeper waters and all that. The man said, at the end of the day, what will I do? The guy said, I will enjoy it so that you can now enjoy life like me, a rich man. He said, what do you think I'm doing right now? Relaxing at 11 o'clock in the morning, smoking a pipe. He said, look, as far as I'm concerned, this is the ultimate in relaxation and enjoyment. You understand my point? But you see, the lesson is not to be able to enjoy life like the other man. It's just that right now, you can only catch fish for yourself, and that is all. But if you follow what this other man is saying, you'll be able to catch fish not just for yourself, but for the scores of people that will be manning your shipping trawlers, you understand, and fishing trawlers, and be able to take care of their own families. And that is God's perfect plan. You know, this man, Tetona, how many of you know Tetona? He's not a good example of a human because he's not a Christian. You know my point? He's not, it's not the point I'm making. He's not a very good example. Just there's something he said that I want to repeat. There was a particular year his wealth jumped from $2 billion to $3 billion. Okay, for those who don't know, Tetona is the man that started CNN. All right? And then he sold it to Time Warner and is now the vice president of Time Warner. Okay? Now, Tetona said that that year that his wealth jumped up from $2 billion to $3 billion, the same year collected the extra $1 billion and said he doesn't need it. So what will he do with it? He wants to give it to maybe where there's farming and all that. And since he doesn't have the time to be doing all that, he gave it to UN to go and do all that. So he gave UN $1 billion. In fact, I heard he wanted to just give them instantly. His advisor said, no, they don't do it like that. You don't do such things like that. He now broke it down to $100 million annually for 10 years. They asked the man why. He said, because there's nothing he's going to do with the money. That look, as a human being, he has found out that by the time you have $200 million, you have everything you can ever wish for on this earth. That anything extra is not necessary. So when he was just getting richer and richer, the man just packaged the extra on top and dashed it to people who he felt needed it. Now, that is what we are talking about, abundance. It's not just like, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I just bought a new car. What you call new car? A white man drove it for 10 years, got tired, and sold it very cheap. He bought the car to $25,000, sold it at $1,000. What does that tell you? He has finished with the car. My friend, we're talking the other day, he was in the US. He told me the price of these cars. And as I come, they are costing like 800,000, 1 million naira here. The other guy said, look, to clear it in Lagos, it's about 500,000 naira. Shipping it down is about $1,500. Are you getting my point? So at the end of the day, it becomes very expensive. But the point I'm making is that we now come and be dancing about breakthrough upon something that somebody felt it was no longer worth anything. And now you understand the point I'm making. Okay, so that's not what God wants from us. What God wants is that you can not only have a car for yourself, but if you see somebody who needs to have one, who you feel you can be of service to, you can give another one, you can give one to the person. That's what abundance is. Not that I have eaten and I'm full, and I wear very expensive clothes, wear gold ring, and I'm shining. And nobody can say, because of this guy, I'm working today and I'm feeding myself. Because of this guy, I went to school. Because of this guy, this positive thing happened to my life, or to our street, to our village, to our town. Nobody can say anything like that. And there is nothing the guy is constantly producing. Look, listen, in life, such people are thieves. That's why God kills them early. Do you understand the point I'm making? They may not be stealing physically, but the point is that their lives will not be preserved for a long time. That's what Jesus was saying. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. All right, that is the concept of prosperity, which we'll have to understand. So it is the power to produce wealth. I think that's what we discussed last time, right? What did you discuss two Saturdays ago? The noble desire. Okay, yeah, that one we were explaining, that if you pray in that manner, like Solomon, with the desire to be a blessing, God will come across to you with more than you want, and so that you will be able to give to other people, like we've been discussing now. Amen. All right. Now, what I want to discuss today, actually, this is the wrong paper. All right, this is the right one. Okay. Now, that was just by way of recapping a bit so that we'll get into, and of course, there are one or two people here that were not there when we were saying all this. So, I know Kingsley has not gotten everything we said last time yet, but you'll get it later, okay? Just relax, try and flow. But we have to at least do some joining. Okay, today I want to, I don't know what to title this topic, whether I call it the seed principle, be fruitful and multiply, or faith, whatever. But by the time we finish, we'll find a title. I think I took a minor, right? We always do that. We'll find a title at the end. Anytime I'm preaching in church, the people in the TV department, they always say, oh, he has come. Most of the time, there's no title. And most of the time, I announce one title. The message never flows that way. Look, you see, there's a tape I saw a few days ago on sale in church, and I saw it, God Looks. I laughed because I announced that title, but the person was not wise enough to change it. I wanted to say something about God looking at people and making a decision about them and the things he looks at. But by the time I finish talking and introducing and explaining and flowing like the Spirit of God wanted me to, my time was up. He didn't say anything at all about the lookness of God. You know what I mean? Okay, anyway, but today, let's see. We'll just start talking and then hopefully we'll get somewhere. Is that all right? Okay, open with me your Bibles, therefore, to Genesis chapter 1. It's a text we read about four Saturdays ago. So today is our eighth in the series, okay? And then at the end, we'll find out a title for it. I'll read from verse 26, talking about the story of creation. It said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. I want you to notice that. Then open to Psalm 126. I'll read a few of these scriptures and then I'll explain some things. Psalm 126. He said, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Said, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. That's verse 3. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Now notice verse 5 carefully. He said, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He said, he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. David, let me use your New Living Translation. Let me just read some that verse from New Living Translation. I'll give back to you now. It said, verse 5. Or let me just start from 4. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Thank you. And there's a reason why I read that there. Because here it says, those who go to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed. To and fro mean that, you know, you are planting in rows, you know, so you go from one end of your field to another and then you return. That's why it's to and fro. I just wanted to point that out from the New Living Translation that he's just talking about sowing your seed. Now notice something here, verse 4. It says, restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Or like New Living Translation says, it said, restore our fortune, all right? Like rivers or streams renew the desert, something like that, okay? It now said that the principle by which God will do it is this. Listen, while we are in the desert, we will plant our seeds and they will be precious seeds, meaning that now I would have loved to eat this, but I have to let it go because of the vision I have for the future. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's why they are crying. That's what they're saying. That's why it's precious seed. That is, when you use the word precious, it means you don't have many of it. Are you getting my point? No. For those of you who studied medicine, this is when we're doing O&G, obstetrics. It's always to call precious babies. You know, so my, you know what are precious babies? She's a doctor, you know. Okay, so precious babies are maybe a woman has been getting pregnant again and again and is miscarrying, or this is her first pregnancy after many years of trying, and she's now maybe 36, 37. and she doesn't have so much time. You know, if you're a 22-year-old girl, what? You have 20 more years to have children. You understand? So such babies usually are called precious babies. That is, look, this might be our only opportunity. So the obstetrician will kill himself to preserve that pregnancy. You understand? And most of the time, they don't even let the woman go into labor. They decide that labor is too risky. Once it's 37 weeks, they go in there, cut her with one very neat incision, bring out the baby. Because it's what? Precious baby. You know, you understand my point? That's what God is talking about, seed here. Seed that is jealously gathered because we don't have many of it. He said, but people will have to sow that seed, and because of the preciousness of the seed, they are crying. Are you getting the point I am making? But this is what I wanted to understand from verse 4. It said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south, or as streams renew the desert. Meaning that God will answer our prayer, but the first thing we do is to do what? Plant our seed. I hope you are getting the point I am making. Now, there's a reason why we are explaining all this. Now, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, God said, be fruitful and multiply. What God is saying here is this. Or let me start it this way. There is a principle by which God works. Listen. And that is a seed principle. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, a seed principle is simple. I think we should read this to clear the example. Mark chapter 4. To explain the seed principle properly. I will continue what I'm saying. But it just came to my mind. I should use that Mark chapter 4 to explain something that a seed principle is like. Now try and follow me. I'm going to talk a bit slowly because this is very, 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 very important. Verse 30. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we represent it? Oh, very good. In fact, Jesus must have read my mind here. Because I was thinking of how do I explain it. That's what he's saying. So how do I explain this thing? He said, it's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is grown, it grows up, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. Now, follow this point clearly. What Jesus was saying here, in fact, it's beautiful to explain what I'm going to say about the seed principle. That is God's plan. Listen, God's plan is that there will be a tree bigger than the plants in the garden that will form large branches so that all the birds of the air can nest under its shade. Are you getting my point? You follow that? But he doesn't manufacture a tree, he doesn't create a tree that's that size. What does he do? He sends a seed that when you plant it upon the soil, of all the seeds you see around, it's probably the smallest. But where it is going to go to is a place where it will be the biggest of the trees. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, that is how God does things. That is, when God wants to get a result, he plants that thing as what? A seed, which is usually smaller in far smaller when you compare it to the thing that seed is supposed to produce. I hope you are getting my point. Now, there is a reason why I'm explaining this. Because we have said, when we started talking along this line, among the scriptures we quoted is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where he said what? That of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. In fact, let me go to another one. If you go to, I think, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, he said, the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That is God's plan. That is the tree that God is planting that will spread over all the earth. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, if you go back again to Isaiah chapter 40, I think that will be 45. Again, we have read it before, verse 22. God said this, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Listen to this, verse 23. I have sworn by myself. It said, that word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. What is the word saying? that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. He said, men will come to him, and all who are angry at him shall be put to shame. And then he said, in the Lord all the offspring of Israel will be justified and with glory. The next line says, Baal has stooped, has bowed down, Nebo stoops over. He was talking about the God that men trusted in. That God is saying here that what will happen is that all of them will be confounded. That the increase of the kingdom of God and of peace will have no end. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So that because the increase is not going to end, a point will come where you will notice that all the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That God's plan is that the glory of God will fill the earth. That Jesus will be declared indeed as Lord. Like he said here, that I have sworn that to me every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Now I'm describing the big tree that the Lord is planting. Sorry, that the Lord has planted. That the Lord wanted. This is where we are going. I mean this when I say it. I first heard people preach this maybe like 10, 15 years ago. I didn't understand. But I'm very sure of it now. I'm persuaded. God's plan is very simple. That the time we come on this earth, that every industry on the earth will name the name of Jesus. I hope you are getting my point. Every government will do the same thing. I was reading this national economic empowerment and development, all those things. I found that the aim, was it that one of Vision 2010, one of the two, that the aim was to create a God-fearing nation. I mean, it was stated there clearly in a few lines. They placed in there, Americans will look at it and laugh. I mean, some of these people, and think that these people don't know what they are saying. They don't understand that the foundation that made them great is what we are trying to lay. They are breaking their own down now. I hope you are understanding the point I am making. Okay. Now, that's what God wants to do. That every nation on the earth will print on their currency, indeed, and say, in God we trust. And when we are talking about God now, we are not talking about just any God, but we are talking about God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you are getting my point. Now, this is not going to be by preaching persuasion. Now, this is what I want to understand. It's not that somebody will not climb on TBN. You know, I've told you again and again. TBN is a church network. It's not exactly a kingdom network. I want you to understand this. I am not saying that what they are doing is wrong, but it's like church. TBN is just church on the air. Because if I am a Muslim, I will not tune to TBN. For what? What am I looking for in TBN? I know what they are going to say. The only non-Christians that tune to TBN have serious personal problems and they are looking for solution. Men who are prosperous will not listen, they won't tune if they are not Christians. For what? Except they want entertainment. I have a friend when I was in Lagos, my neighbor. There was one pastor on TV. He calls the man his pastor. He doesn't go to church, doesn't do anything, this one, but he likes watching that man. Because to him, the man is entertainment. If you go and read Ezekiel chapter 33, God was saying that, you see, your words have become to them like the words of a beautiful musician, a man who plays well on an instrument. That's what that's what that man is. He said, my pastor is on the air, and he will sit down and be watching the man, because the man displays funny to him. Now, this point I'm making. Now, that is what TBN is to the non-Christian, if he's going to watch it, except he has a serious problem. But that's not what God is looking for. Alright, it is good. It's that I'm not like church. A non-Christian will not come to church. Alright? If the man doesn't have a problem, why should he come to church? But what God wants to do is that when I'm not talking about problem now, I don't mean financial problem. I mean like he has an emotional crisis, he's depressed. When he has serious financial problem, he goes to bank. He doesn't come to church. Alright? No, really, really. Serious men, when they have some financial crisis problems in business, Accenture used to be Arthur Anderson in those days. Okay, you ask somebody for consultation to review your business. That's what most people do. Now, but what God wants to do is that a time will come that when you tune on TV to watch news is given to you from a kingdom perspective. Are you getting my point? Nobody is trying to kill your faith. That is when the kingdom of God will have taken over the network. Not when TBN is becoming the largest network in the world. That's not what I'm saying. That if you want to watch sports, if Janet Jackson tries the one she did last time and stripped naked halfway, she will never appear on any TV again on earth. Now, this is not like somebody is being vindictive, but we have considered you a cancer. A single cell that has all the malignant potentials will not spread you to everybody else on the earth. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, the network is being controlled by kingdom principles, not people who are just looking for money, but that their desire is to spread the knowledge of God to the ends of the earth. Because God's prophecy is that the earth must be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. What we think sometimes is that people will keep on preaching, but that's not the point. But this is where I understand it, that you go to a big bank and you enter the boardroom. You understand my point? And when they want to deliberate, the first point is, everybody, let us pray. And they pray from the bottom of their hearts to the God of the earth through his son Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? And when they are doing policies, the policies are dictated by kingdom principles. I hope you are getting my point. Now, there is no pastor amongst them. They are just simple, straightforward children of God. I hope you are getting my point. Now, so that everywhere you go into transportation business, they are there. You go to manufacturing, they are there. And that's what God is trying to do. I hope you are following me. That the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. When we're talking about the earth, you go to an industry, that's part of the earth. You go to a bank, that's part of the earth. You go to government offices, that's part of the earth. And it is not like you have a man wearing a collar and a long robe and carrying one very large Bible and shouting, repent. No, you just walk in, but the director general is running his business, things that he's doing according to the word of God. I hope you are getting my point. That is, if you find the likes of Daniel as ministers in the nation, imagine what kind of nation it will be. That's what Daniel was. I hope you know Daniel was not a professional prophet. Do you get the point I'm making? Daniel was not a professional prophet. He was not like Elijah and Elisha or Samuel. That's not what he was. The guy was a regular civil servant. Joseph was not a professional prophet. Joseph was a regular worker, nothing more than that. Look, all those prophecies that Daniel was prophesying was for himself and for his people, like the Israelites, like himself. As far as Babylon is concerned, the guy was just an astute manager. I hope you are getting my point. When they think about Daniel, they just think that, look, when we have problems, that's the guy that will solve it. Do you follow me? That's why you will see what the Bible will say in Ephesians chapter 4. He said that, till we no longer be children. No, he was talking about, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the edifying of the saints. You understand my point? He said, the idea is to equip them for the work of the ministry. Do you get my point? Look, all this time that evangelists reach out to the world, it's not true, really. What the Bible said, that the evangelist, what does he do? He equips the saints for the work. Most of the people who call evangelists are not really the Bible definition of what the scriptures call evangelists. Now, I hope you are getting the point. Because the primary purpose is for the equipping of the saints. The main work will be done by everybody. Everybody. You know, I say this again and again. We have a problem currently in Christianity. Well, maybe it's a stage of development, all right? Maybe it's a stage of development in which we think that the superior man is the one that's a minister. You understand my point? That is carrying Bible and that's the man God is using. That's not necessarily so. That's not necessarily so. God is, look, the only thing, like I say all the time, is that most of the other men that God is using don't preach, so you never hear. You know, I was preaching, was it last Sunday in church, and I told people that, listen, one mistake we make when we're talking about seed is that a lot of preachers keep emphasizing that once you drop your seed and it's offering basket, that you will get money back. I'm not saying it's wrong. You've heard me preach it, okay? But that's so, the man starts testifying that last year he gave somebody 500,000 naira, and this year God gave him a brand new E-Class as a reward for the 500,000 naira. How did God give him? One brother gave him the car. Okay. So brethren start giving their money and their shoes and watch, hoping that somebody will give them a car. Listen, nobody will give you any car. Listen, nobody will give you anything. Nobody. You're not a preacher. Nobody's going to give you anything. I hope you're getting the point I make. But I get into your heads now. You know, some people can't hear this truth because they've been sowing seeds for years and you're telling them the harvest is not coming. And your harvest will come. I am just saying that nobody is bringing any gift to your doorstep. Get that clear. Get it into your head now. Are you following me? Because that's not how God expects most people to live. Most Christians will labor. You understand my point? In the field. What the preacher is doing is laboring. You understand me? It's laboring. I'm not saying he's playing. But most people will go to the field. Field now being anything, could be business, could be civil service, could be anything. It will be an investment, anything. And that is where God will bring his reward. Not sitting at home, confessing that somebody brings a car my direction today. Better get up, gather your cloth together, guard your loins, enter the field and begin to plant. So that the treasure you have in heaven can have an avenue to come to the earth. I hope you are following me. I'm explaining that God has a plan to fill every corner of the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. And like we saw before, that is going to do these things through people. Now, I've not lost track of what I'm saying. I'm trying to build up something. We've discussed this again and again in the past. But that God uses people to do the things that he wants to do. You are getting that point. Now let's not get back to what I was saying. Now, this thing that he wants to do, he's doing through people, right? And we said, we likened it what? To what? A big tree that's so large, shooting out very large branches. If you get the Jehovah's Witness book and look at the diagram there, you know they draw very well, all right? They are fantastic artists in that place. If they don't do anything else, they illustrate Bible stories perfectly. They draw a lion, it looks real, like it's going to jump out from inside the book. And it's very real. So go and look at the Jehovah's Witness illustration of that tree. It's a very nice tree. It's very big, you know, but like the one of Nebuchadnezzar. You see all kinds, even Good News Bible has a good one. But that big tree is being planted as a seed. Now, that is all this thing that God wants to do is being planted how? As a seed. Now, back to where we were. Where were we reading earlier? Psalm 126. If you remember, when we read Genesis chapter 1, he spoke to them, he said what? Be fruitful and multiply. What I want to get across to us this evening is the fact that when God said be fruitful, I was explaining that God uses the seed principle. Okay? That is this great thing that God wants to do on the earth, he has sent it in as what? A seed. When God wanted to fill the whole earth with people, he sent how many people in? One. And not even two initially. One. From that one, he brought out the second one. From the two of them, he brought out another one, another one, another one, and their descendants, they kept growing until currently we are over 6 billion people on the earth. And get this clear. At the point in time, he decimated everybody back to just Noah and his descendants. Back to another one, all right? Just Noah. Are you following me? Meaning that God was concerned about what he's filling the earth with, not the number, because he knows that once he has the right seed, eventually it will fill the whole place. I hope you are getting me what I'm saying. That so you see that a lot of things that you are asking God for and praying God for, listen, nobody's driving an E-class to your house. It's not likely. Let me say it to you again. But in response to that prayer, in answer to the prayer you have prayed, God will give you what? A seed. And what he's saying about the seed is that the seed will germinate. It will begin to produce. And eventually it will have enough fruit. Like he said, if you read that Genesis 1 where we read just now, that the fruit will have seed in itself. And then you plant the seed again, and then it will produce more trees, which will produce more fruits, which will again have seed in themselves. If you listen to Miles Morrow, when he began to talk about the principle of potential, Miles Morrow will pick a seed in his hand and say, if I show you this, what is this? Everybody will say it's a seed. He said, but in reality, if you want to look at it, that I have in my hand a forest. Because that tree in the right place can germinate and produce, and that seed will produce a tree which will have fruits, which will have seeds in them. Then if you plant the tree, the seeds, and then you go over the cycle again and again, that eventually what you have is what? A forest. Now get me, let me explain it clearly. That is the principle by which God operates. God sends seeds onto the earth, and inside that seed is everything that he wants to accomplish on the earth. Now, why am I emphasizing this and explaining it again and again? Because what God expects us to do is to tend those seeds. Because that is from with the place, that's the place from which he's going to produce the tree that you as a person are going to become on the earth for God. Remember, we're talking about prosperity. That prosperity is not having enough for yourself, but to be able to provide cover for all the birds of the air, using the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 4 there. Do you get my point? But what did he say? Before you get to a point where you'll be able to do that, what I give you to you is what? A seed. And now, what's a seed? Now, when I read that scripture, Isaiah 126. Did I say we should go back there just now? Sorry, Psalm 126. Did I say we should go back there? Okay. Notice what he's saying. Verse 4. Imagine a Nigerian praying and he says, restore our captivity, O God. Give us prosperity. Give us the good things of life. Enable us to be so prosperous that we'll be able to do what you want us to do in this country. That is, not only do I want to eat and drink and be merry and rejoice, but I want to be able to provide, like the tree, enough shade for all the birds of the air to come and rest under. And God is saying here, this is the principle by which you will do it. You will sow in tears. You will go to and fro weeping, carrying your bag of seed. Are you following what I'm saying? When you do that, that is, you are sowing in the time of adversity. Now get this point clear. What God is saying here, I want our captivity, O Lord. He said, a nearly in translation says, like streams renew the desert. Is that okay? Meaning that you are in a desert time, you are in a time of depression. Now, most people will think that it is time to depart from the dry land and go to a wetland. But God said that is not the way by which prosperity will come upon the dry land. What will happen is that people, my people who are called by my name there, what they will do is that they will take their seed, precious seed, in the time of difficulty. Let me tell you why the seed is, why the men are crying again. Because they will have loved to eat it. Now, most times this has been quoted. People have said they'll come and give offering. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong, okay? But that's not what I'm trying to talk about today. What I want you to understand is that the fish... No, don't twist your face. It's just because we have to balance some things right. Everything has its place. If you want to know, go and listen to our tapes 1 and 2. We'll talk about treasure in heaven. It's important that men love to, men know how to give, you understand? But that's not what I want to talk about today. What I'm talking about is the fact that there is a physical principle of sowing in the dry land. Do you get me? There is a principle. Look, a farmer that gives and gives and gives, but does not go back to sow, will not receive anything. That is, there are two kinds of seed. We have discussed that before. There is a seed that is you use to sow, buy up treasure in heaven. But there is a physical seed on the earth. That let me use the word, we open a channel by which your treasure in heaven will come back to the earth. Do you understand my point? So that the farmer still needs to go to the farm and plant seed. Are you getting me? Okay. Now, I was saying that, so in the time of the difficulty, what God expects men to do is to do what? Plant seed. I hope you are following me. Now, when I'm talking about planting seed, we're talking about economics, we're talking about real things. Because in recent times, God has been showing, helping me to read some books, and from them I've been seeing things. I found that a lot of the men, you know, there's one book I was reading recently by J.P. Getty, Paul Getty. And Getty was explaining some things about entrepreneurs, men who succeed. He said that, he mentioned the name of one man, and in the time of the Great Depression, that banks were closing in the U.S., you know, they will close their doors so that they will not become distressed because of panic withdrawal. He said there was a guy, he mentioned his name, I don't have the name in my head. What did the man do? The man took up, you know, I think he had a quarrel with some, he tried to explain some new principles to his friends. They refused, that they didn't make sense. So he broke away from them, founded his own bank, and in the time of depression, was going house to house offering people loans. Do you get my point? That is, he was sowing seed. Look, listen, other banks, in fact, even the bank he used to work, that they own together, they closed their doors. That no, it's the wrong time to issue loans. They didn't even want people who deposit their money to come and withdraw. Things were bad. And he said, no, this is wrong. In the time of adversity, restore our captivity, O Lord. And God is saying, you have to sow in tears. You have to take seed that is precious and plant it at that time. So he went around and started giving loans when they felt that most people would not be able to pay. He said, no, they will pay. And that they had never been heard of that men were banks canvass for customers. He will go house to house and say, what is your problem? What were you doing before? Okay, what if I give you $500? How would that help? Of course, they thought he would go down. He didn't go down. The man was great. The same year, reaped 100-fold like Isaac. Until he became very strong. He mentioned the name of the bank. It's a pity that I didn't know I was going to quote it. I would have brought the book to show it to you. The same principle this man said, good enough, a lot of us have read a book, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, I told you before that, let me tell you what, let me just say this. When you are reading, what you see in books, depends on the kind of person you are and what is in your heart ahead of time. So, don't wonder that some of the things I say that, are you sure it's inside that book? It is there. It is there. It's the kind of eye I used to read it. That's why I saw it. This same principle was outlined in that book. He said that people say in the time of adversity, save, save, save. He said it's very stupid. That what you should do in the time of adversity is invest, invest, invest. People feel that you should hold your seed because it is precious. I think it's King James that used the word bearing precious seed. Okay? Now, because this seed is, look, the man is crying, putting the seed into the ground. People tell him, you will lose everything. The guy said, no, I won't. The ground may be dry, but that is the time men that come out on top sow their seed. Listen, every mediocre will sow in the ground that is correct. You understand my point? The Bible says, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. That is, you see that most people, what they do, really, is that they sow based upon what the circumstance is saying. But if you really continue to do like that, you will never reap beyond what an average person is reaping. Do you get my point? Listen, let me say it again. I've said it before and I will say it again. Rushing out for high-paying jobs, it's a very, very tailly thing. It's not a heady thing. What do I mean by tailly? I shall be the head and not be tail. Christians confess that. But then they don't understand that the man that gives is the head, not the one that takes. I'm not saying a high-paying job is bad. I am just saying rushing now, thinking that is the key to breakthrough, is madness for a child of God. Because what God is giving you is what? The power to create wealth. Listen to me. In the time of adversity, let me tell you what. God is actually spreading His spirit all over the land. Because I heard somebody preach this message. Two different people preach this message. And listen to me, I'm just preaching my own. I'm not even quoting them. This is what I mean. In Nigeria, it's a good time to sow. This is the correct time to invest. You know, let me tell you what. Wisdom that helps you to succeed in life is actually how God opens your eyes to see what other people are not seeing. It is not to be able to wake up and quote the Proverbs of Solomon. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is not reciting Psalm 1 to Psalm 150 by heart. Wisdom is not having read the whole Bible through and through. No, wisdom is that when people are seeing that things are going to the right, you are wondering, why are they not seeing that these things are going to the left? That is, God opens your eyes and you see. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. You know, somebody said something long ago. He said a white man looked and said, Nigerians are very stupid. They see money on the streets and they are not picking it. Now, this was like 10 years ago. I heard somebody say this. I told you that I heard that when Vodacom tried to come to Nigeria, and then they failed and they tried to pull out. The men they brought resigned and stayed in Nigeria. I said, man, this is where the action is. They said, wow. Let me tell you what. That is simply because they are seeing what other people are not seeing. Now, it's clear to everybody, but some eyes are shaded, some are open. So they will plant seed, precious seed, in what you thought was dry. There's some point we're going to come to, all right? But I want us to understand this. Talking about investment, principles, we're going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about the details. I'm just going to talk about the spiritual foundation for it, okay? Because I don't know the details. Do you get my point? But what I want to explain, that when things are dry, is the time to invest. Let me tell you what. God, this Psalm 126 is full. What God is saying is that if men don't invest at that time, I can never restore their captivity. That's what I want to bring out. That if every Nigerian evicts himself out of the land of dryness, that land will continue to become dry. No, it's a pity I read things. I didn't know I was going to quote them, but they just come back to me. There's a story I read recently. I think one of these, like Daily Bread, all those books, you know, those Christian books, a page a day. About one man, he said he went to somewhere in France or somewhere, and he saw a farmer. Was it in the Middle East? I'm not sure. I think it's somewhere in the Middle East. No, I think it's France. Somewhere, you know. Now you see, one man was like a shepherd, and every day when his goats are grazing or sheep, he'll be dropping a seed into the ground and covering it with his heels. just doing nothing, just dropping it, covered with his heels. So he looked at him like, what are you doing? And he said, look, that this place used to be very, very beautiful, but that as because of overgrazing and stuff like that, the land has become dry, okay, and everybody has gone away now. So you can see just a little bit piece of grass here and there. So he kept on doing the thing. He'll be planting the seed. Anyway, about 40 or 50 years down the line, all those, the mentioned name of the tree, those seeds have been planted. Actually, he said at 19, okay, the man said he slept over in his hut, like in a small village, in his small house. And at night, the man will be picking nuts. So what are those nuts? Say he's planting them. So when his animals are grazing, he has the nuts in a bag and he's just planting. He's planting. What happened? About 50 years down the line, he mentioned the name of the town. It's a real story, not a parable. That the place became very beautiful. All those trees he planted had grown. Alone, the guy literally filled hundreds and hundreds of hectares of land. Because he was not in a hurry. This is the point I'm coming to. If he had gone like everybody else, you know that place will still be dry till today. This is what I'm coming to. What God is saying here is this. No matter how much you pray for restoration of prosperity in the land, if you don't plant seed in there, I can't do anything. I hope you are getting my point. Now I'm going to talk about what that seed is. I don't know where we can get there today. But get this clear. If you are praying to God for prosperity in a land, you must plant in there. I'm not talking about go and give offering. Don't look for a pastor now and give him money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying buy small shares in GTB. My father doesn't have own GTB. I don't have any relation in GTB at all. I'm just as an example. Market capitalization. What do they call that thing again? That's so good to say every bank must go up to 25 billion naira now. The capitalization of banks or something like that. Okay. Now, some banks may appear to be coughing, you understand, because of that. Then they'll start issuing shares. Listen to me, I think Nigerians should buy those shares so that the banks will have money to do business. That is what is called sowing in a dry land. I know what I'm saying. Now, I'm not campaigning for any bank or anything. When industries are starting to cough, and what they look at Econet the other time, Econet went through so much hassle because they did not have money. What is right to do at such times is that if it was okay, they didn't mind to come out and tell, okay, we want to sell shares, Nigerians come and buy. What God is saying is this: all of you dedicate a month's salary and put it in there, then your children will have jobs. I hope you are getting the point I am making. That look, not this one sitting down in the house and breakthrough. The only thing we know how to do to get breakthrough is to give offering, and I think it's we've carried it beyond the reasonable place, as if God will open the windows of heaven and literally pour down blessings. No. The principle of this is this. Once a people are shouting, restore our captivity, restore our prosperity. He said, listen, you guys gather your seeds, go out and plant, though you are crying. I hope I'm making sense. That listen, we'll talk about another kind of seed. Because everybody, God has dropped a seed inside you. I have given you a gift you are not taught. He said, start writing. God, I have to get a good job and eat. He said, listen, get a bad job that gives you all your afternoon and nights free. And please start writing. What I just have idea just to cook and bake and do. God said, listen, resign the job you are doing. Get one. Go to a primary school. Take a job 8 to 2. In the afternoon, start writing your recipe. This is the principle of sowing in tears. That is, I could have been comfortable somewhere else, but that way I won't be able to sow. They'll just be giving me food. But I have to sow a seed. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I must sow a seed into the land before God can pour forth prosperity upon that land. That's the point I'm getting to us this afternoon. Listen. It's now I understand the way God wants us to invest in business. If we go and read the story of American Depression and stuff like that, FDR, that's the Roosevelt, that their governor, the president, that pulled them out of depression. You know how he did it? He kept on spending money. Government began to spend, started giving contracts. Money they hardly had, the man spent it, and he spent until they came out of depression. Listen, there is he that withholded more than his meat. What happens to him?
he tends towards poverty. It is always more blessed to give. Even if it's into the soil, God says it is better. Look, some of the men I've been reading, they'll tell you that no man who became great did not lose money, that all of them lost, but they still became great. But I know, they will tell you, I know many poor men who have never lost a dime, but they are still poor. Do you get my point? You give everybody $100, $100, $100, $100, $100, $100 naira. So I don't want to lose it. So it doesn't sow anything. He starts eating 1 naira today, 1 naira tomorrow, saving it. And that guy, he drops 10 naira today, the 10 naira vanishes. He said, no problem. He drops another 10 naira tomorrow in the business. The other one, he returns 5 naira. He said, to him, it's encouragement. To the poverty mentality fellow, this is proof that we can't do it. But to him, no, this 5 naira is encouragement. Then, before he sows his last 10 naira, he gets 100 back. Then he sows that one again, he gets 1,000 back. He sows that 1,000 again, he starts multiplying. Down the line, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, he's a very wealthy man, employing thousands of people. That his friend is a bloody pensioner somewhere, begging for food. Why? Because this guy was willing to lose. He was willing to sow in what? Tears. I hope you are getting my point. Am I making sense? That is, God is saying there is a seed, that there is something that only you can do, and have designed that only you will be able to do it. But I've said it before, the way the devil baits you away from your true prosperity, from your true ability to create wealth, is to buy that thing from you with money. Maybe the guy is supposed to be, look, I'm just using practical things that we can all relate with. Maybe he's supposed to be a musician, writing music and playing music. Every day, he wants to do it. Somebody offers him, he says, look, boy, you know, things are tight. You know, you should help your father. You should help your brother. You should help, you know. That's why Jesus had to say, look, listen, you must never put those considerations above working for the kingdom. I hope you understand what I paraphrased. Then they explain, say, look, but this guy is offering you a job here. So there are different kinds. Some will say, man, if I don't do this thing, my soul won't be at rest. So he forgets the job. He gets a little bit of money here and there, but then one day he breaks through. Do you follow my point? One day he breaks through, and then he becomes a very rich man. And they say, this guy is just lucky. No, he's not lucky. I told us before, there is a spiritual principle that directs how money moves on the earth. I was talking to a friend of mine who were discussing something about, well, we didn't use these words, but it had to do with this sowing, you know, in tears. And I was explaining some things to him. I said, listen, because of this thing that you are doing today and today, I said, one day somebody will call you lucky. I said, this thing that you are doing, one day you will become a consultant to WHO. You'll become a consultant to UNICEF. I don't mean you will work for them. That is, they will be happy to have you talk to them. You will have things that will be returning millions and millions and millions of naira to your pocket every month. And somebody will say, you are lucky. I said, let me tell you ahead of time, you will not be lucky. It's a product of the things that you are doing now. You are depriving yourself now when other people are enjoying, because of a vision you have they don't have. I hope you are getting me. Then when the thing breaks forth upon the man, they say, man, that guy is just lucky. I can't believe it. Only him. This one. Listen to me. It's not luck. It's this principle of what? Sowing in what? Tears. Let me explain again what sowing in tears means. It means that you will have been able to make more money if you were not doing this thing at this time. So you are depriving yourself. That is, these guys have seeds. Some would rather eat it. Say, we don't know what this ground will become. Because listen, it said, restore our captivity, O Lord. It was talking about sowing in the dead. I like the way King James, New Living Translation brings it out. That we are talking about restoring us out of this desert land that we are in. This thing is dry. But he said, you must go into that same desert land and sow seeds in such a manner that it will appear like you're throwing them away. No, let me tell you what. In life, if you read nothing but the scriptures and God opens your eyes, you can make the best business judgments. Normal human beings say, when things are tight, you keep money. Oh God, that man is enlightened that wrote that book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. If God can open men's eyes to see what he's saying. He said, when things are tough, people are selling houses. He said, look, One of the things he said is that, please don't copy everything I'm doing. Just understand the principles that I am good with real estate. Again, I'll explain something. If you read the story of Bezalel in Exodus, God explained that I have put the spirit of the craftsman in him. There is a kind of spirit that God puts in each person. That's another type of seed I said I was going to talk about. The man said, look, I know how to do this. So find the way you are, the place you are good in. But at one point he now made, he said, when they say that real estate market here is bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. So once he hears it, he jumps in there. He said, because he has noticed that that is when people will start selling houses worth $100,000 for $20,000. So he said, he will just be jogging around, looking around for the good deals. Then he will look for a man and say, this house, how much? The man said, this house, I'm selling for $50,000. I just want to get out. He will look at the house and say, I know this house. This house, those days, probably bought it for $100,000. The house in reality is worth at least $80,000. And this guy wants to sell for $50,000. He said, okay, what if I give you $35,000 and I give you now? He goes, are you serious? Say yes. Are you serious? Say yes. Bring it. Meanwhile, he doesn't have $35,000. So he'll say, okay, I'm coming. You go and get the little money he has and give to the man. Say, just hold this. Before the end of the week, I give you the balance. Then he'll go out looking for somebody else who wants that kind of house. And say, I have a cheap house for you, $50,000. The guy comes to look at it. He says, okay, I'll buy it. He said, can I have like $30,000? I say, yeah. Pay the man off. Pocket the balance. He continues his jogging. He has been in that business. He said he has noticed that when people say, save, 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 it is the time to spend, spend, spend. Are you getting me? Oh, I was reading that poor Getty man. Look, this guy wasn't teaching scriptural principles. I like one thing my pastor in Lagos used to say, that even a man discovers real truth, real one, is usually in keeping with God's word, though he has not read the Bible. The man was, he said, listen, when people told him that there was a time he spent a lot of money, he was discussing how to come out of difficult situations. He called it the investor at bay. There's as if you are locked up in your bay, that don't worry, you'll soon start sailing. That he paid a lot to get oil fields somewhere in the Middle East, but then when he finished, he realized he couldn't move his oil back to the U.S. And everybody said, hey, get is going down. He said, just start with his men. What are we going to do? What do you do with all this oil? He said, because soon they are going to be drowning in their own oil. They were mining so much of it. So much of it was going to start coming out. He said, why don't you just refine it? Where? All right, they just went to Europe, countries in Europe around. Started buying refineries, building refineries, and then started shipping. By the time their oil was finally getting to the U.S., it was very expensive because it was clean, well refined. When people felt that run, close it and run, he said, no, that was the time they started spending more money. It has always worked in life. When economic depression sets in, the only thing that pulls it out is for people to spend into it. Is this principle here? Now, I started by talking about seed. That what God wants to do, listen to me, children of God, listen. If you are going to become like a tree, very big and very huge, that men will be rushing. I was talking to my wife today. I said, listen, one day people will come and talk to you and say, hey, Auntie, how now? I heard that this man is your husband. Please, whether I apply for a job or... I said they will be begging. That they will be using connection. I said, because I was just talking, joking. I said, okay, you be in charge of production and distribution. And they'll start a guy on $200,000 a month. He said, a month? I said, yes. MTN is doing it. The banks are doing it. And listen, I am indeed the head and not the tail. I swear by God that made me, I will do it. Even if I'm not pulling $200,000 as the man who started that business, I will do it. Do you know why? Because I'm the head and not the tail. I know what I'm saying. But then, that's where I'm going. What am I going to do now? That is, one day you will pay me, so I will package all the money. This is all the money I have. And I will put it into this business that is in line with what God has called me to do. And they say, what if you go down? I said, I will go down with it. They have no fear. Look, he that tries to save his life is the one that will lose it. The one that wants to throw it away is the one that will find it again and again and again and again and again and again. The beautiful story we all hear now is that of Mel Gibson. I've heard all kinds of things, $26 to $40 million. All I know is that the consensus among all the stories I've heard is that it was all the money he had. that he told the guy who played Jesus Christ that, look, oh, maybe you should reconsider this thing. If I sink, I'm an old man. I have tried. It's not so old, but I mean, I've been around for some time. I've enjoyed myself. But as for you, you are still young. Oh. The guy said, look, my initials are also JC and I'm 33. It's just correct to die like that at that time. So he said, fine. So he put his money, all the money. Listen, a man has to sow in tears. The only film that has beaten the Titanic cost almost $300 million to make. His own cost just about $30 million. You know how much do I have to tell you that he that goes forth to and fro carrying his bag of seed shall indeed come again with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him? Do I have to tell you that again? Ask Mel Gibson. He will tell you. He will tell you. Your woman, Mary Kay Ash, when I read her book, you know, I told you the way I read things different. When I opened the book and read it, those are the things I was seeing in there. When she was going to start her business, that was all the money she had. Then beloved husband dropped dead while they were about to start. She still opened 1 month later. By the time she died, the company, though they refused to go public, they went public at the time and came back. If they had gone public, that company would have been worth billions of dollars. I think a few years ago, they were turning over annually $2 billion in sales. When she sowed the seed, it was, if this seed dies, I'm dead with it. That was the last she had. He that loses his life for my sake shall indeed what? Find it. When he says for my sake, listen, doesn't mean I say, Jesus, this is church, I'm dancing, I'm giving offering right now. No, that is good, but that has its own place. He said, when I send these little ones to you, whatever you do to them, you have done unto me. Back to the prayer of Solomon. That is, when I pray that God, with what can I affect my generation? And for that sake, I invest everything I had. You have lost that life for his sake. So you will find it again. I hope you are getting my point. He that sows in tears shall reap with joyful shouting, my Bible says. After preaching this message, even me preaching, I've gone crazy now. You don't realize how madness has entered my head now. Because now, listen, because now, no, my wife is here. You know what we're discussing about this morning? Now I will be willing to sell my car to get that thing to start. That he that sows into, oh, look, all the investments you have made, I have not made money. It's because they were careful investments. No, just 50,000 naira out of 200,000 you have. Do you know what that means? You really don't have faith. You really don't have faith. If you did, you would put all that you had on it. You know, I woke up early this morning. Thought my son woke us up. I didn't go back to sleep that time. I just started meditating. Then again, in that book I was reading, Getty was saying that, as far as he's concerned, some things are impossible. And that a wise man should know what is impossible. He said, but this is the key to the entrepreneur who's going to make it. Where men are seeing impossible, he should know how to see what is possible. That if you see impossible, don't do it. But if you can see possible, then go after it. Then I dropped the book and I just started meditating. I said, Jesus said, to him that believes, now, I left getting now, just meditating. All things are possible to him that believes. Then I said, what it means, therefore, is that you don't just, you know, I've said it before, you don't just believe. You know what's my point? You don't just believe. What happens is what? You must have information. We pray like this after Paul, Ephesians chapter 1, that God may give us what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. That is, God will open your eyes, you will see what others are not seeing. Like, get my drift. So you look at a thing and everybody is seeing impossible, impossible, impossible. Then God just opens your eyes small. Then you just see one corner they are not seeing. And you try to tell them, but they can't see it. Listen, don't worry, they can't. Because you have seen based on the spirit of seeing that God has given to you. Listen to me, once you see like that, sell all you have and buy that land. He said the kingdom of God is like what? Treasure that a man found in the ground somewhere. Then for that treasure, he sold everything else he had and bought that land. Whilst God, look, and now I was thinking that to him that believes, what it means to believe, therefore, is that you can see what other people are not. Are you getting what I'm saying? And based upon that, Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to you. Look, so what I'm doing now, from now, I'm just sharpening my vision. Every day you wake up, you are turning the thing over inside. Okay, how do we start with marketing? We'll go like this. What is going to be the content? You start planning. You don't have a dime yet. Then one day we come. Are you listening? The time will just be ripe for you to start. But there will always be one problem. The wind will be contrary. Most of the time, it's money. Let me tell you the story of T.D. Jakes. I think I've repeated it to us before. After he preached Woman That Would Lose, that thing that broke him out into limelight, a company came to him and said, let us write the book. So they said, okay, you know, a lot of books are written like that. The people they call author don't really write. Some people just sit down and transcribe the messages, arrange it, and give it to the man to proofread. If he says okay, they say fine. So they gave it to T.D. Jakes after doing all that. And he said, this is not what I meant. These guys have turned the thing upside down. So they said, okay, write it yourself. So he got up and wrote it himself. Are you following? Then gave it back to them. I guess they didn't like it. And they said, well, if they are going to print it, you should bring money. Ah. He said, he looked at them and said, I thought you guys said we should do this. So he said, he's not doing. He said, then the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, invest in yourself. They asked for $15,000. He said, that was all the money he had on this earth. Jesus said, sell all that you have. Hey, are you getting my point? He said, there's a treasure a man saw. And for that treasure, he went and sold all that he had. So he said, God, this is all I've got. God said, no problem. Sell all that you have. So the man gathered all the money he had, $15,000, and placed it on that book. And they printed for him 5,000 copies and gave it to him. It's his book. And he sold every single copy in 2 weeks. He that sows in tears shall doubtless what? Return with rejoicing. Every single copy he had was sold up in 2 weeks. Listen, those guys, they really sell the books like $10 for one. Printed for $3. Even if all he made on each book was $1,000, was $1. At the end of 2 weeks, he has made $5,000. Out of $15,000. No bank on earth. You know, the maddest thing you can do with money is to put it in fixed deposit. Even bankers say it. I went to preach at that church I told you I went to preach about 2 weeks ago. There was one pastor, there was a banker. They asked him. He said, look, I'm a banker and I want your money. But the truth is, please, if you have money, don't put it in a fixed deposit. He said, it's a waste of your money. He said, it's a waste of your money. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. He that sows in tears, come on, brethren, you will have to sow in tears. Listen. It's good you are hearing this while you are a young man, because one day you'll be 50. And listen to me, you will literally, literally be a billionaire, if you follow what I'm saying. Get my point? At that time, you will be like a tree that will have branches here and there and there and there and there and there. And men, you know what those birds are? They are men. They are families. They are children. People who are depending on you for livelihood, you are covering for them. Listen, make up your mind. You can take a job for an interim, but jobs must not be your life. You must be a giver of jobs. You will give. It is more blessed to give. You will give jobs. This is the... let me tell you what. A time will come, listen to me, I'm giving you this word, in fact, prophetically. People will be begging to talk to you because they know once they talk to you, their joblessness has ended. Yeah. Who's talking about, I want a job? No, you will not ever want a job. Listen, from you know your problem is not a job. Your problem is the one you will give somebody. I'm already thinking, let me tell you what, I already have in my head how to handle health for my workers. Because Nigeria doesn't have a proper health system. How will my workers be able to, you know, health? And I'm not going to be going and lay hands on everybody. So, you know, I'm already thinking about it because I've already felt, look, if somebody's working for you for 2 years, at that time he becomes ill, and becomes so ill that he can't. Do you lay him off in his illness? It's difficult. But your business also has to survive. So, I already have my plans in my head. I'm telling you the honest truth. Pension scheme for people working for me, do I be a private person? It's already in my head. I can give you a few of them. All my workers by force must make you have investments. For every 10 naira you invest, we'll probably add 2 naira for you. We will make it mandate. Look, listen, you have the choice to say no. But if you go in, we'll take 10% of your salary every month, we'll be investing for you. And for every 10 naira you put, we'll probably add 3 naira for you. Listen, everybody will do it. It may appear hard at the beginning, but listen, at the end, it will give you a good name. When this man is going off, his investment is there. You don't have to pay him money. Once you give him his gratuity, bye-bye. You know, owing him every month is coming to queue, or guy, my pension. And listen, the 2 naira you gave him every month, by the time he's leaving, it will have multiplied to millions of naira. The guy will depart from you a multi-millionaire. How will your children not be blessed? That's what you should be dreaming about. You don't need a car. No, I keep telling you, you don't need a house. You don't need 2 pairs of shoes. Are you hearing me? Wear one, sell the other one. How many can you wear at a time? Okay, all of you that have more than 1 pair of shoes on your feet, put up your hand. What I'm saying, you see young men, they want to kill the air and start walking now. Start saving. Why? He wants to buy a car. Are you a mad person? What if thief carries it? Savings of 2 years. I keep telling you people, I graduated in 1991. I never drove my own car until January, actually February, because it was 30th or 31st of January, year 2000. My father-in-law gave it to us as a gift. Why didn't you buy a car? I don't have money. But your friends bought. I don't know how they managed. I don't know. But to save my salary to buy a car, you must be kidding me. I'm being honest with you. God is my witness. Since then, because of that foundation, God has not allowed me ever to save money to buy a car. Ever. Listen to me. I have dashed people 3. None of them did I save for. Never. Because from the beginning, I said, no, it's not worth it. I said, it is not worth it. Listen, in this life, I'm a giver. Sometimes you have to give in tears. People think that it's because you have so much. That's not the point. He that sows in tears shall doubtless return rejoicing, bearing his harvest with him. Listen, all this physical thing, you will be saving up money to buy a music set. If music set will not come to you, please go and buy this Watch Night radio. It's like 200 naira in the Obiti market. Tune it to FM. You have a lot of noise in your house. Why are you saving money to buy 80,000 naira Sony deck for? Let me tell you, when things break into your house, rejoice and be glad because they are messengers of the Almighty. What are you doing with it? Look, there is a time for everything. As a young man, it is time for what? Investment. You get to be sharp. Buy books. Wake up and read. When God puts a seed in you, plant that seed. I like the story Tunde Bakari told. After I finished law school, one of his uncles, they tried to arrange to get him into either Mobil or one of these big companies to become company secretary. He said, he told the man that, I didn't study law because I wanted to become company secretary. I wanted to practice law. That's why I studied it. He told the man, sorry. He wasn't even a Christian. He said, that man was his cousin or something. I was leaving that job. I wanted him to take over. I wanted to groom you. You know, this kind of groom you into a poverty situation, that kind of thing. All right? After he had opened his own chambers, I had become a very, very, very rich success. The man came to him one day after he had retired from that same oil company job, asking whether he could add some money to the one business he wants to do. See what he look like. If I had taken that job, in his mind, will I be adding money for you now? So of course, dig down in his pocket and get the man money. Listen, when you will be sowing your seeds, are you hearing what I'm trying to say? It will be with tears. Meaning that it will be stupid. Your friends will be rushing for one thing, you will rush for another. And they will be laughing like, this guy is not serious. Rejoice and be glad. So did they abuse the prophets that were before you. That's what Jesus said. Oh, you don't know the scripture, I'm paraphrasing. When men are abusing you and criticizing you and maltreating you for the kingdom's sake, that's time to rejoice. Listen, God said you will be fruitful. Listen to me, the meaning of fruitful. Fruitful, so when God said be fruitful, it wasn't advice. Say, Adam, try you, be fruitful. My counsel is multiply. No, God's words are what? Power. You understand my point? It's an empowerment. So God, I'm speaking to you again. Be fruitful and multiply. You will be fruitful. That's what God is saying. Why? Because he has put what? A seed inside you. Two kinds of seed I talked about today. There is a gift God has given you that only you have. You are the only one that has it. You are the only one that can do it. But listen, it has to be sowed in what? Tears. Meaning at that time it will appear like it's not producing money. Look, but you know, we don't understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of those physical things he possesses. So people are rushing for it. They don't understand that if the man will rush out for things that make for real life, then abundant things will be added. You know what I mean? Added. That is not his substance. That just the clothes he wears. That just the fringes, the embroidery at the edges of his clothes is added unto him. I can't get away from that scripture. Psalm 126. He said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. Those who go to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves or his harvest with him. There's one scripture I want us to read before I go. Isaiah chapter 30. Because this is what God is going to do for you. When you have already taken, let's listen to this. He said, and you will, let me just start from 22. Let me just read that 23 straight. He said, then he will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground. It will be rich and plenteous. On that day, your livestock will graze in the roomy pasture. Come on, listen, that's a prophetic word. Isaiah 30 verse 23. What he's saying here is this. The men are sowing in a dry ground. But once God sees that they are sowing, what's the next thing he will do? He will give rain for that seed that he has planted in the ground. That's what men need to pray for. Pray for rain. Rain. That is this thing I have planted. God, let it germinate. And let's listen. God will cause all grace to abound towards you. Get my point? Grace is an empowerment that God gives those who have decided to step out on his word. I want us to close with that one today. We have spoken enough for today. Maybe we'll take off from there next time. But I hope you have learned something. I hope God's word has come to you. Let us rise up therefore and pray. We'll continue from there. Don't forget, one thing I want you to go away with today is this word. That there is a seed that God has planted into it. Get my point? I gave an example of what Guinness is today. It was a seed God planted in somebody. I talked about T.D. Jakes. I gave as an example. There are many other people who I don't have time to... I didn't itemize their name, but if I start thinking, we start hearing names of people. Even the so-called richest man in the world today, Bill Gates, he was sowing seed again in dry ground. I hope you know that. When he started what he's doing now, people were not making money per se from it. He could have joined his friends too and taken a lucrative job because he was a sharp young man. But he didn't. The man sowed in tears. In fact, someone was telling me the principle by which he markets his goods. That one time he will buy one from somebody, add it to the old one he has for free. People can be using it for free. He doesn't charge for it initially. It's later on he starts charging. Are you getting my point? Sowing in what? Tears. One of my other favorite examples is Michael Dell. When the man dropped out from school to start Dell, that is now number one PC manufacturing outfit in the world, Dell, was a small thing that only him was doing, and maybe one or two friends. So in what? Tears. What we like to do is to have 1 million naira first, then you invest 500,000. So that, of course, you will lose it. You will lose it. Recently, I heard a quote. The person was quoting, why do I always forget this man's name? Anyway, he was quoting one man, one American. But I realized when I was reading, I found out that that man was actually quoting somebody else. Okay? So the man said, don't put all your eggs in one basket. The man said, no, that is not correct. He said, put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket very carefully. It's against sound logic, but that's how those who sow in tears, that's how they do it. If I remember his name, I forgot the name of the two people. I don't know why the names keep on escaping from my head. I don't know why. But that's the point I want us to understand. That's what Jesus meant when he said, he that will lose his life for my sake. Because we have to add these things together. We have to add it to the creation of wealth. If you're not here, then try and get a tip. That's power to get wealth. And that one we titled The Noble Desire. When we talk about the fact that Solomon prayed in a particular fashion. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. If you see the way Solomon prayed, he impressed God with his prayer, his desire to be a blessing to people. If you have that desire, knowing that God will by your hand create something good on the earth, you will sow into that thing, the idea that God will give you. And listen. Amen.